The year was 1851, and the location was England. A young man that some people call Charlie was about to deliver his first sermon. He'd only been saved a little while, but God had called him to preach. And so young Charlie turned to the passage we're looking at this morning, 1 Peter chapter 2. And he preached, and he found that the Lord blessed it. And he would preach on this again later, several other times. And then that small group that heard him got bigger and bigger, became the biggest church in England. And someone has calculated it was probably the biggest church outside of Catholicism, with their massive cathedrals, the biggest Protestant church in history. Charlie was Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And his first sermon was on the text we're looking at this morning. About 1810, another Englishman named John Fawcett published a whole book on this one verse entitled, Christ Precious to Those That Believe. Now, I've benefited from reading Spurgeon's sermons on this section as well as Fawcett's book. But as I said a few weeks ago, I'm not plagiarizing. A preacher can get milk from a lot of cows, but he churns his own butter. And Steve, this is my own butter today. I'm not borrowing it from them. The title of the message is Precious Jesus, and the text is 1 Peter 2:7. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. First, Christ is indeed precious. And what does that word mean? You know that Peter, though a Jew, wrote in Greek, and he used the word timē, which means valuable, honorable, worth a high price. Well, if you want to define it by its opposite, it ain't cheap, it's not worthless, it's valuable. In fact, the English word precious comes from the word price. You could say precious means precious, got a high price on it, costs a lot. And Christ is not only precious, he is priceless. He is beyond cost. You could never count the cost and say, I have the money. He's beyond cost. He's more than we could ever afford. Now, the word precious and timē is used over and over in Peter's first and second letters. It seemed to be one of his favorite words. 1 Peter 1:7 says, the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes. And in 2 Peter 1:1, he says, to those who have received like precious faith. So the gift of faith that God gives his people is precious. It's valuable. It's not something they buy by their good works and New Year's resolutions. It is something given because we could never buy it. Elsewhere, the Bible says that God's words are precious and valuable. Psalm 19:10, one of my mother's favorite verses, says, more to be desired are they than gold, yes, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. You know, some things in the world are valuable, not so much in themselves, but because of who made it, or who it belongs to, or who it once belonged to. If you ever watch some of those antique shows on TV, they'll show you something and you say, ah, it's a hunk of junk. And they say, ah, but it used to belong to George Washington. All of a sudden, it's worth $1,000 more. And so it goes. Something is precious and valuable because of who it belongs to. Well, this is the Word of God. If this was simply a collection of old Hebrew myths and Greek wisdom, you could just say, well, you know, I'll give you $25 for it. But if it comes from God, it's beyond value. You'd say it's valuable because of who it comes from and who it belongs to. The Bible is precious because it's God's word. Also, if you look at 2 Peter 1:4, Peter again uses the word precious. And he says the promises of God are precious. by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. So all these are precious, but today we're going to concentrate on the precious person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see that several times in this chapter. Verses 4, 6, and 7, Peter tells us Jesus Christ is precious to believers. Now notice he says that he is precious to you who believe, believers. Not to everyone. In fact, we see it over and over again. The contrast. He says, to you he's precious, but to them, not worth anything. Why? They don't believe. They don't value him. They don't see his worth beyond the things that they do value. But to believers, to all believers, he is precious. How does it work? It's by faith we see the value that is in Jesus. Those that don't have faith, therefore, say, well, what is special about this Jesus? Oh, they may say he's a good man up there with the great men and women of history. And they'll say he's in a class up there with Napoleon, George Washington. But then they also say with Buddha and Muhammad and Confucius, oh, he's great. But they think that they're putting a value on him. It's a limited value. They're actually devaluing him because they don't see that he is beyond everybody else, in a class all his own, therefore in a value all his own, because they're blind. But faith sees the value and the worth of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Holy Spirit does that miracle of the new birth in a person's life, he is a sinner, and now the Holy Spirit changes not only his heart, not only his mind, but the Holy Spirit changes his value system. Years ago, some humanists came up with this idea and they forced it on the public school systems. Values clarification. You remember that? And I guess they're still promoting this stuff. And they basically say, you have your values and your beliefs and your lifestyle, but you got to respect everybody else. And it's all just kind of equal. But when God changes a person, he gives them a new value system where you look at other things that you used to consider valuable. That was your idol. That's what your whole life was about. And now you say, it's worth nothing. But Jesus, oh, before I didn't consider him special. Now, as we used to sing in that old song, you remember the one, Gary? He's everything to me. Before he was nothing. Now he's everything to me. Because we now see our own worthlessness and we see his worthiness. And seeing Jesus for who he is, what he is, what he has done, we trust him and we value him. Now, if you are a believer, you do value Jesus. Some, I think, value him more than others. And our value of Jesus rises and falls with our spirituality and the times in our lives. But if you are a believer, you do value Christ. He is precious to you, the Bible says here. If he is not precious to you at all in the sense we're looking at this morning, you're not a believer. But if you do believe in Jesus, he is precious to you. And so unbelievers might say, I wonder if I'm a believer or not. Then I ask you this question. What is Jesus to you personally? What wells up in your heart when you think of him? Do you know him and do you love him? Do you put a value on him? That will tell you if you really are a Christian. To know Christ is to value him superlatively above everything else, to appreciate his worth and his value. So why don't unbelievers value him? Because they're blind and they don't see what is really in Jesus. And believers see it and we say, don't you see? It's kind of like taking two people to an art museum. Let's say you go to some of the great art museums in the world, the Louvre or the Tate Gallery in London or the Metropolitan Museum of Art. And you go there with this friend of yours and you're walking down and you see some of the great artistic masterpieces right there. Before you'd only seen them in books or on TV, you see the Mona Lisa and you see the Blue Boy. I've seen that at the Huntington Art Gallery. You see these and you say, that's magnificent. Boy, look at the U and the proportion, and look at the look on his face. How in the world did the artist capture that? And you look at that and you say, this is tremendous. That's worth millions of dollars. In fact, You know that they don't even put a value on the Mona Lisa. They don't insure it because it is beyond value. But then you say this to your friend, you say, isn't this great? And he says, I don't see anything beautiful in that. And you say, what's the matter with you? He doesn't see the beauty because he's blind. And a blind person can't see the beauty in great art. And the same thing is true with Jesus. A sinner is spiritually blind. Therefore, he doesn't see the beauty and therefore the value of the Lord Jesus. And then other people, I guess they think that they see, but again, back to the idea of an art gallery, some people will say, oh, that's nothing. And they'll go and want to see beauty that they call as art, but it's really trash and junk and pornography and stuff like that. Like the old saying, one man's treasure is another man's trash, and vice versa. But it says here, to you that believe, he is precious, he is valuable. Now, why does Peter keep going on and on about this? You might say, well, I guess Peter got carried away, his sentimentality, and after all, Peter once knew Jesus. Well, this was at least 30 years after he had seen Jesus. Jesus had gone back to heaven, but 30 years later, Peter still remembered him, still loved him. But it's not just Peter. Peter says, to all of you that believe, we've never seen Jesus physically in the flesh. But for 2,000 years, there have been men and women, boys and girls that would say, that's right, to me, he is precious. Why is Jesus Christ so valuable and so precious to those that believe? Well, two reasons. Number one, because of who he is as God. He is God by very nature, by right from all eternity. And that tells us that these cults that deny the deity of Christ, oh, they may speak highly of him, but they devalue him when they take away his deity. They cannot claim this verse. To them, he is not precious. But Jesus is God, and he became a man. And because he is God, he is of infinite value. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, being God, has more value in his little finger than the whole universe put together. Because God, as God, is infinite in value and worth, far more than his creation. The Creator is more valuable than his creation. So to deny Jesus as God is to devalue him and to be blind to his true value. So he is God, but he's also sinless man. The only perfect man that has ever lived. Now, human beings have the image of God, and to some extent, therefore, they have a kind of value. However, we are sinful human beings, and so whatever value we have because of the image of God has been forfeited. All true value in man has been forfeited and outweighed by the devalue of our sins. But not Jesus. In his humanity, he's perfectly pure and holy. And in his humanity, he has perfect value. Not at all devalued by any sin. He is perfectly pure and holy. Therefore, you could say he's precious God, he's precious man, and one person. Now, let me show you something else. Turn over to Matthew 13. You may want to stick the bulletin in 1 Peter 2. We're going to get back to that. But look at Matthew 13 for one of the parables the Lord Jesus told. He told a lot of little stories that illustrate certain truths. And in this one, Matthew 13, 45 and 46, only found here, and it's a fairly short one, Jesus put it like this. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls. Now, you've seen pearls. Some of you ladies have worn pearls around your neck, either the real ones or the phony ones, but pearls. He was a pearl merchant. Verse 46, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now, the point of the story is that Jesus is the pearl of great price, and we are, as it were, looking for things that are valuable. And so in our life, we go through trying to find the meaning of life, and we put value on things. But even for a non-Christian, he's always somehow looking for the greatest thing that'll finally satisfy him. He says, you know, I've tried this and that, and it doesn't finally satisfy. I want something that's best. It's like the collector. I think everybody here, sometime or another, has collected things, stamps, coins, antiques, all sorts of things. I'm amazed at some of the things people collect. But collectors not just want to collect a large number, they want to collect that one thing that's the best of all in that category. They want that one stamp, for example, the Hawaiian blue, the most valuable stamp in existence. There's only one or two of them. Or that one thing that they say is the best. Well, in life it's like that, and according to the parable, Jesus is that one pearl of great price that surpasses all the others. So in the story, this merchant finds it, and he says, "Is this for sale?" And the owner says, "Oh, yes, it's for sale. Don't know if you could afford it." And the merchant says, "Well, you know, I've got a collection. I've got a lot of things. How much to get it?" And the man says, "Well, this is a valuable pearl. Have you ever seen one like this?" And he brings it out on a little cloth of black velvet. And he says, "Look at this." And the merchant says, "Oh, I've never seen one like that. It's big and shining. And, well, look at the sun, the way that it glistens on it and the colors." He says, "How much?" And he says, "Well, such and such." And the merchant says, "Oh, I can't afford that." But the merchant says, "Wait a second. I've got to have that pearl." So he takes out his inventory sheet. "Now, see, how many pearls do I have?" "Yeah. Well, you know, if I sold them all, if I sold my house and emptied my bank account, yep, I can do it. If I give up everything I've got, I can get that one pearl, and I get the best part of the bargain." And he does it, and he's happy to do it. Now, what's the point of this story? Jesus is the pearl of great price. Now, mind you, we don't buy Jesus. That's not the point of the story. The point of the story is to get the most valuable thing, we've got to give up everything. When the Lord Jesus calls us, he says, "Come and give up everything. Forsake your sins. Take me as Lord and Master. It's all or nothing." And so we have to deny everything, the Bible says, over and over again. But think of it like this, brethren. Has it ever occurred to you that when we give up everything and we get Christ, we get the best bargain imaginable? We get by far the better half of the bargain. You've seen people, they bargain and you trade something. You know, little kids, they go to school and they say, "I'll trade you this toy truck if you trade me that." Yeah. He goes home saying, "Mama, look what I got. And, you know, I got the better part of the bargain." And your mama said, "They cheated you. You got a hunk of junk. They were going to throw that thing away anyway." Now think of the bargain in this transaction. We give up our sins, we give up everything, we give ourselves to the Lord Jesus, and he gives himself to us. Who gets the better part of the bargain? Jesus? No. He gets from us, and what are we worth? Not much. What is he worth? Oh, he's worth everything. We get an infinitely valuable bargain in this transaction. Bible often speaks about Jesus being the pearl of great price, and Bible speaks about precious stones like gems, rubies, diamonds. And you could say Jesus is the most precious gem of all, like the pearl of great price. He is the ruby of redemption, the sapphire of salvation, the emerald of election, the diamond of deliverance. On it goes. Jesus is more valuable than any jewel in the world. When I was a boy, I got to see the Hope Diamond in the Smithsonian Institution. And in London, I saw the crown jewels of the Queen of England. You want to see a hunk of ice? Go over there. They've got a diamond as big as a hen's egg in this scepter she carries around. Scepter, she could kill people with it. It's so big and clunky. That huge diamond. But Jesus is more precious than the Hope Diamond, the crown jewels, or all the gold, rubies, sapphires, and platinum in the world. He is precious. Look back at 1 Peter. Peter says that to you that believe he is precious, but to others he's not precious. And the Bible contrasts Jesus' value with others that we put value on. For example, other people. Jesus is more valuable in himself, and we are to put more value on him than anybody else. Jesus said this: "He that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me." If you put more value on your family or your friend than Jesus, you've missed the whole point. Secondly, even over ourselves. Oh, we want to say, "I'm number one and I'm the most valuable thing to me. I'm the only me I've got." But we've got to give up me to get him and we value Him above ourselves, and to say I'm willing even to die for Him. He is worth my everything, my life, my death, my all. Thirdly, He's more valuable than things. But oh, here's where the rub comes in. People put value on things. I remember years ago hearing this little saying, and there's truth in it, that says, what's wrong with the world is that we treat people like things and things like people. We've got things mixed around like that, and we consider things more valuable than people. But people are a lot more valuable than things, and Jesus is more valuable than things. There was a time once when a very rich man came to Jesus. Very rich, very valuable clothes, probably banks filled with money, property, jewels. Said he was a rich young ruler, and he came to Jesus. But because he had a nagging conscience, he was afraid of dying and going to hell. So he said, good master, what do I have to do to get eternal life? Well, Jesus said, well, you know what the law says and God's demands. Have you kept God's laws perfectly? And the man lied and said, oh, yes, I've always done this. So Jesus put him to the test and said, I'll tell you what. Go home. Sell everything you own, everything, and take that money and give it to the poor. And then come follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. Oh, you'll get eternal life. Rich man couldn't do it. He said, give up everything? My gold, my fine clothes? You mean I have to wear rags? I can't do it. He counted the cost. But notice what he did. He counted the cost of everything he had. And on the other side, he counted the cost of Jesus. No, I'd rather have these things than Jesus. So it says in Mark 10, he turned around and walked away. And people are doing that today. They think, well, my car, the things, other things. Now, Jesus doesn't demand all of us to literally give to the poor. But what he says is, are you willing to? Is he more valuable to you than all these other things? And there are people in the world that will not believe in Jesus because there's one or two things that they're holding on to that they would have to give up, and they won't give up. What fools, because they can't take it with them past the grave. They can't take it with them to heaven or to hell. And so they want the valuable things of life for just a few years when God's offering them an eternity of happiness and the most valuable thing of all, Jesus. And they do the weighing and they say, nope, like the rich young ruler, I'll take these things rather than Jesus. How foolish. So Jesus is more valuable than other people, self, things, sin, or even the entire universe. He is precious in himself. Let me quote John Fawcett and Charles Spurgeon. Fawcett said, he is not only precious to you, but he is preciousness itself. And Spurgeon took that and said, I'm going to go with that. And so he said this, his very self is preciousness itself. He is the essence, the substance, the sum of all preciousness. Many things are more or less precious, but the Lord Jesus is preciousness itself, outsoaring all degrees of comparison. Good for you, Charlie. He's right. Preciousness itself. Inherent in his very nature, not earned, not attained to, he was always being God of infinite value and preciousness. You could also go further. You know that I like to not only bring in Jesus to every message, but I often like to bring in the Trinity. I'm very Trinitarian. And one of the things that has moved me in recent years is within the Trinity, the love within the Father, the Son, the Spirit, but also the preciousness within the Trinity. Jesus is precious to the Father. The Father says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He is valuable to the Father. The Spirit and the Son, they all value each other in this eternal Trinitarian glory. And so, as one of the Puritans said, Jesus is God's most valuable and precious thing. And if he's like that to God, he should be like that to us too. Matthew Henry said, he that is God's most beloved son should be our most beloved Savior. If he is precious to God, he should be precious to us as well. Look back in 1 Peter chapter 1. Where Peter uses the word precious again with reference to Jesus. In verse 18 he says, knowing that you were not redeemed or purchased with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but you were redeemed. How? With what? He tells us, verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The precious blood of Christ is a great theme in theology. I've read several books on it. Only Christ's precious blood could redeem us from our sins and the wrath of God. You see, we could not do it by ourselves because we're not valuable. It's like something has a price tag on it, and we just can't afford it. We don't have the money. We don't have the wherewithal, good deeds, anything. We're not valuable. We're cosmic junk and garbage, rubbish. And we have sinned against the infinite holiness of God. Therefore, the price tag of our salvation is simply this. If one of the angels were to fly before God and says, Most High and Majestic God, that we cannot even look upon in your holiness, there are these beings down on earth that for some reason you are offering salvation to. What is the price of their salvation? And the voice of God says, there's just one price on there. Infinite value. You see, we have an infinite debt, and the price of our salvation therefore has to be infinite. But only an infinitely valuable thing could pay that debt. We are not infinite. The whole universe is not infinite. Certainly not in value. And yet there's an infinite price tag placed upon our salvation, our redemption. But God, being infinitely valuable in Himself, can pay the price. And He did that. That's why God became a man. He paid the debt with His blood and His death and His sufferings. And everything Jesus did had infinite value attached to it. His sufferings had infinite value to it. And so did His blood. The Bible says we were redeemed by the blood of Christ, and it has infinite value to it. One of the medieval writers about 800 years ago said that, and this is worth pondering. He said, even one drop of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus would be sufficient enough in its infinite value to redeem not only every human being that exists, ever has or ever will, but a million times that. And he says it's worth a billion universes in even one drop of His precious blood. Jesus didn't pay just the right amount and not any more. Since it's an infinite debt, He paid an infinite price. Now that staggers us. Meditate upon that. Maybe at communion sometime. Jesus paid not just enough. He paid more than enough. An infinite amount. And only He could do that. Therefore, as Peter says, you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. Something else. We often value something because it is rare, as I said, like certain stamps or coins or antiques. Our Lord Jesus, in one way, is the rarest, dare I say, commodity in the entire universe. He's unique. He's nonpareil. There's only one Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one like Him. He's the only God-man. He's the only perfect, sinless human being. The only time God became a man. And these people that come along and say, well, He's up there with Muhammad and Buddha and all these great religious people, that's an insult to the Lord Jesus Christ. They are saying Jesus is a good Savior. Some of them will even say He's the best. But that's like saying Nathan Browning is a faster runner than other people. That's still putting Him in the same category as other people. Jesus is not simply the best Savior. He's the only Savior. He's the most valuable one, compared to whom nobody else is even close or in the same category. He's precious. He's precious to those that believe. And if you're a true believer, you have Christ. And if you have Christ, therefore you are a rich man. You have infinite value. You're wealthy. Oh, you might say, that's good news. I looked at my bank account the other day. Don't have much. Need to go to Steve Bailey and say, Steve, can you cook the books? I don't have enough money to pay the taxes. Not many of us are very valuable and wealthy. I mean, how many of us here would want to sit down with Bill Gates or these other guys? We're not wealthy. But If you have Jesus, you're wealthy. In fact, any of us here, if you have Jesus, you're more wealthy than Bill Gates, because he doesn't have Jesus. Better to be poor in money and to be rich in Christ. And better to be that than to be wealthy in money and not have Christ. Brethren, when you die, you can't take your silver or your gold or even those precious things, you know, the things that maybe your parents left to you, or some precious thing that somebody gave to you. It may not be worth something to somebody else, but it means a lot to you. You can't take that with you. Oh, they might put it in your coffin, but they bury it in the ground with you. You can't take it with you. But you can take Jesus with you. So you see, his preciousness outlives our sojourn in life. In fact, when we get to heaven, it's going to be even better than what we have here on earth. He is precious and valuable beyond the riches in this life and in the next. Have you ever wondered, what do extremely wealthy people do with all their money? And you say, what would I do if I had $1 billion? Well, lend some of it to me for one thing, but what do they do with their money? Well, some of them set up foundations. There's the Rockefeller Foundation, the Ford Foundation, the Bill Gates Foundation, these other ones. Unfortunately, some people set up foundations to do stupid and silly things. In a couple of weeks, a television host named Bob Barker will be retiring. He's been on television since I was a little boy, and he's retiring with millions of dollars. And they say, what are you going to do with your money? He says, I've set up a foundation. And you know what he's going to do with all these millions of dollars? Foundation to make sure people spay and neuter their cats and dogs. What a waste of money when you think of people starving and children in hospitals. So that's what he's doing with his money. Others, they keep reinvesting it in the company. Other ones kind of hoard their money. When I was a kid, I used to read, you know, Donald Duck and Mickey Mouse, and there was Scrooge McDuck. Some of you remember him. Scrooge McDuck, he would gather all his money to this huge bank vault and just simply sit in it all day long and swim in it. Didn't want to give it away or spend it or anything. And there are people like that. They live to work and they work to earn money, and with the money they just simply hoard it. What fools. Jesus told a story about a man like that was wealthy. And he said, I'm going to eat, drink, be merry again. I've got it made. And God came to him that night and said, you fool, this night your soul is demanded of you. And what shall happen to all these things? He'll die as poor and as naked as the poorest beggar in Calcutta, India. By contrast, Christians are really wealthy people. And day by day, in different parts of the world, there are dirt poor Christians in the deserts of Africa and in the jungles of South America that don't have two pennies to rub together. But when they die, they are valuable and wealthy because they have Christ. Now, what should we do if we have this great value, this wealth in the Lord Jesus? Well, we should share him with others. We should reinvest it, as it were, and keep the kingdom of God going and share the Lord Jesus and appreciate his worth. Don't hoard him, share him. Another couple of reasons why the Lord Jesus is valuable. We've said for who he is, but also you could say he's valuable for what he gives. He gives things that are of infinite value that nobody else can. He gives salvation, redemption through his blood. He gives heaven. He gives all these things that can never be purchased with money or with good deeds. But he is more valuable than what he gives to us. And brethren, let's remember that. So often as believers, we get our eye off the giver and look at the gifts. As great as the gifts are, and I don't just mean tangible things, but when we value justification, salvation, heaven, peace, adoption, all these great, valuable gifts he has given to us. Wonderful. But brethren, the giver excels in value all of his gifts. And woe be to us when we set aside the giver and go after the gifts. That would be like a greedy kid on Christmas morning that ignores his parents and doesn't even say thank you and goes after the presents. The Lord Jesus is far more valuable than all of his gifts. Now, how is it that we truly appreciate his worth? Well, of course, when we When we believe, as it says here, to you that believe, to the degree to which our faith is strong, we value Jesus. Strong faith, he is very precious. Weak faith, he is not as precious. Something else. When we see the unworthiness of ourselves because of our sins, that sets up a contrast. We say, I am so worthless, I am junk, I am worse than junk. And that's the black background against which this shining jewel is set, and we see it more valuable by contrast with ourselves. So when we are in conviction of sin, how about this? When we are in the valley of tears and pain, I think many of us have been there. Some of us are there now. Physical pain, affliction, loneliness, fear. When we are just, you know, the tears are wrung out of us like a rag and we're hurting. Oh, my brethren, that's when the Lord Jesus comes to us. And then we realize just how precious he is, how sweet, how gentle, how good he is. The Bible says over and over again, the Lord is good. And when he is good to us, we thank him. And every teardrop becomes a way of saying thank you. We love him. But also when we meditate upon the cross, like when we come to communion, and then we see just how precious he really is. I heard a story some years ago. I used to like to read books about martyrs and Christians that gave themselves unto death for the Lord Jesus Christ. And in one faraway country, a Christian actually paid the ultimate price, and he was decapitated. And the persecutors, they rubbed it in. They took his decapitated head and showed it to the martyr's wife and says, "What does your handsome husband look like now?" And the wife said, "He has never looked more handsome than when he died for the Lord Jesus." Even so, brethren, the Lord Jesus never appears more beautiful and valuable to us than when we think the valuable one suffered and died for us. And that's when we see just how valuable. That's why Peter weaves in the precious blood of Christ with our faith, seeing his value. Fourthly and lastly on this point, how and when do we truly appreciate his worth? Well, we've seen here on earth, but also in heaven. When we see him in heaven as he is, the Bible says, we will see him in his infinite value, uncluttered by this curtain of creation between us and him, and unhindered by our sins. We will not only worship him as we should, we will value him as we ought. And what do they sing in heaven over and over again? And this is a song they never tire of singing. Thou art worthy. And look at that word, worthy. You have worth. You have value. In heaven, they see the value of the Lord Jesus in his person, in his work, in his words, everything about him. And so shall we, brethren, forever and ever. Because him having infinite worth, you know, the deeper we go into eternity, we'll see more of that. And we will worship him in his worth more and more. Even unto all eternity, we will never come to the point where we said, I've come to the point where we say, now we know just how much he's worth. We will never know fully how much he's worth, even in all eternity, because he is infinite. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus is precious in himself and to us. How precious is he to you? You see, true religion, true spirituality is more than just simply believing the right things or doing the right things. Brethren, it all comes down to what Peter says here. It's him. It's him, the Lord Jesus Christ. You miss him, you miss everything. It's him. Christ is precious to us when we meditate on his infinite worth and value, and when we appreciate it, and we believe his worth and believe in him personally. And we are to marvel at it like a collector of a fine gem. Have you ever been amazed in a holy marvel and awe as you pondered the worth of the Lord Jesus? But not just in your mind as you studied the theology of the Bible, but in your heart. As you say, I realize this in my mind and I'm going to let it sink down in my heart personally. Peter says here, To you who believe, he is precious. My dear brethren, do you ever come before the Lord Jesus Christ at communion or in prayer, in tears or in joy, and say, not just, I believe he is precious, but to say, Lord Jesus, I believe you are precious. Say it to him. He wants to hear it. Love him, adore him, worship him, and value him above everything else. Peter says, to you who believe, he is precious. Amen and amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, open our hearts and minds to see your preciousness. Help us to love you, to adore you, and to value you above everything else. You are worthy, for you are precious. In your holy and precious name we pray.